قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: إذا كان في رجل خلة رائقة فانتظروا أخواتها.
أمير المؤمنين إمام علي عليه السلام stated: If a man possesses a revealing quality, wait and see his other qualities.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Dear friends, in the beautiful discussions and the beautiful statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find that Imam Ali truly did have a universal persona. And we see that his persona and his life and his morals and his ethics and his lifestyle, his seerah, his sunnah, his ways and his manners are truly universal, because even after the passage of time, and that too over 1,000 years, we are still able to benefit from Imam Ali alayhi salam. One of the things that we learn, and of course a lesson that is taught to us by His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, is about forbearance and knowledge. It is interesting, Imam Ali alayhi salam gives certain relationships to these two things, that is, forbearance and knowledge. His Eminence says, "Forbearance is a believer's supporter, and knowledge is a believer's friend." Truly, dear brothers and sisters, forbearance is a great support. If we look at ourselves and if we look at our life and the people around us, we will find that forbearance, steadfastness, tolerance, patience, these things are all a great support for every single one of us. To have forbearance means that in the difficult times of life, one does not falter. And likewise, to have forbearance means in the good times of our life, we also don't falter. So in the bad times, of course, we might go astray, we might commit sin, we might become hopeless and despair. In these instances, we must have forbearance, and that forbearance, that patience to continue to not fall into these pits of deception and hopelessness. This forbearance is a great support. And likewise, when things are going our way and things are good and happy and everything seems to be going well, forbearance means to not go astray, to not commit sin, to not become arrogant, to not become proud. And so in both conditions, we find that forbearance, patience, tolerance, steadfastness, determination, these are a believer's support. And for our brothers and sisters who are looking for friends, Imam Ali says that knowledge is a believer's friend. Knowledge about life, knowledge about death, knowledge about the hereafter, knowledge about the religion, knowledge about the purpose of life, this is your best friend, because it is this kind of knowledge which leads to action and leads to wisdom, and it is this knowledge which will help one to be able to be successful in both this world and the next. And so, profound lessons: forbearance is a believer's supporter, and knowledge is a believer's friend, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لا أسعد حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother. My name is Muhammad. After returning from the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali gave certain pieces of advice to one of his sons. Historians consider him to be Imam Hassan alayhi salam, while others are of the opinion that he was Muhammadul Hanafiyya. He wrote this letter in the form of a will. They deal with almost every aspect of life, which goes a long way to make a man successful in life, brave, humane, generous, virtuous, and pious. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the last will of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. My dear son, remember, the best out of these pieces of advice of mine are those which tell you to fear Allah, to concentrate and to confine yourself to the performance of those duties which have been made incumbent upon you by Him, and to follow in the footsteps of your ancestors, the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali, and your pious and virtuous relationship. Verily, they always carefully measured their thoughts and deeds, as you must also try to do, and they carefully thought over the subject before saying anything about it or before doing a deed. You should also follow the same. This kind of deliberation made them take from life what was really the best and forsake that which was not made incumbent upon them or which was not the best. If your mind refuses to accept my advice and you persist to try your own experiments like them, then you are at liberty to arrive at your conclusions, but only after thoroughly studying the subject and after acquiring the knowledge necessary for such decisions.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Aliyun minni wa ana min aliyin. This narration that I just quoted, this is from Manaqib of Ibn Shahr Ashub. And he interestingly has combined this narration with the story of the conquest of Mecca, which is a symbolic meaning, which is very interesting, that when the Prophet, you know, was able to gain control of Mecca, one of the first things he does after going into Masjid al-Haram was to remove all the idols which were inside. And when all the idols had been removed, there was one big one on the roof of the Kaaba. So Rasulullah told Ali, let's go and remove this one. Now the roof of the Kaaba is not that, you know, short. It is, the ceiling is high there. And so at the end what happens, Rasulullah says, okay, you get on my shoulders. Remember, Muslims believe that the seal of Nubuwwat and Khatamiyat was on there. And Ali gets on the shoulders of Rasulullah to go on the top of the Kaaba, and then he threw down the idol. There were others actually who were saying, I wish we had this honor to do that. And Rasulullah says the honor goes only to the one who never ever worshipped an idol. Because most of the majority of the Sahaba were all mushrikeen before. And that is why you'll see that the Muslim world says that Ali, when they used to describe him, they would say, Karram Allahu wajhu. Karram Allahu wajhu means, may Allah honor his face. Because this forehead of Ali has never ever bowed down in front of an idol. Combining the story of, you know, removing the idol from the roof of the Kaaba, and Ali standing on the shoulders of Rasulullah, with this issue of sitting on the member, you know, in a way, Ibn Shahr Ashub is trying to say that, you know, if Ali can stand on the shoulders of Rasulullah, what problems do you have that if Ali sits on the same level as the member of Rasulullah?
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Elephant Day in Thailand. The country celebrates a large animal as a source of national pride and cultural identity throughout its history. One celebration took place in Chonburi province on the eastern Gulf of Thailand coast. Dozens of elephants were hosted at a famous botanical park. The animals were treated to 2 tons of fruits and vegetables laid out on a table as wide as 8 meters. Elephants in the past were used for labor, transport, and in battlefields by warriors and kings. But nowadays, they're no longer used for heavy-duty jobs.
And time have changed. These elephants now, they're no longer used. We have better equipment to carry log and all that. So they become what we call homely elephant. These have been their life. We train them, they rest among us, we give them food. So now they have a homely life. Homely life, we have to support them. So now they go to the tourist attraction place, they're riding elephant, and all this is...
The feast takes place on March 13th every year and commonly in various parts of Thailand. But this year, celebrations were few because of the COVID pandemic and the economic woes that have come with it. Competition at stand-up paddleboard events is fierce, but competing on Europe's biggest underground lake adds another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the seven-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we're on an underground lake and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere. And really, the atmosphere is great because we're in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we're going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats. Races, beauty contests, and a marvelous show. Here is everything you need to know about the first Qatar Camel Festival. Qatar kicked off its very first edition of the Camel Festival earlier this month at Lepsire, Doha. The festival features unique and high-value breeds for the public to enjoy. Camels from all around the region will also get to flaunt their posture to earn the title of the most beautiful camel or the highest value breed in the festival. But first, the whole lot should be judged.
Judging is based on the size of the camel's head, the length of the neck and the beautiful appearance of the animal and its health status. Of course, judging is different for each group of camels. For example, in the case of camels that are black, the focus is on the size of the animal's head. But on camels that are white, the focus is on the beauty of the camel and the harmony of the body and the beauty of the animal. In addition, we have very experienced professional staff who will deal with the animal if it is artificially beautified.
To spike excitement and competitiveness in those who enjoy such shows, the country has allocated a whopping 47 million Qatari riyals for the lucky winners. The 45-day event will last until March 22nd and will include various competitions, including 115 local and international races.
In the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we don't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A first-of-its-kind selfie museum in the Central American country of Guatemala is gaining lots of attention from excited enthusiasts. The selfie museum is located in Antigua, Guatemala, and is made up of 40 rooms or scenarios. Each room is a recreation of a colorful theme. Wallpaper, wings, greenery, neon signs, and other props are all present to spark the interest of visitors. One room includes a levitating bed, and another is equipped with a spaceship. Other rooms have familiar scenarios of presidential offices and comic book characters for visitors to take photographs in. Several artists participated in creating the art illustrations. A zoo in Peru's capital city, Lima, is celebrating a rare hatching of endangered baby crocodiles. The Huachipa Zoo showcased three females and one male to the public on the World Wildlife Day. The four crocodiles were born in incubators as part of the conservation efforts for the reptile. This species is an American crocodile, which is on the endangered list of animals in Peru. Zookeepers say the black market and threats on their habitat have seen the crocodile population dwindle. The zoo regularly receives animals that were rescued from trafficking. Among those traits are tortoises, macaws, and monkeys.
The 2022 World Cup is reaching a fever pitch as hundreds of people line up at a shopping center in Qatar to take a picture with a trophy. The famous Golden World Cup trophy was unveiled during a ceremony at a mall in Doha, where excited football fans waited for their turn to see it. They were also given the option to take a selfie or have their photo taken professionally. While the competition is still nearly a year away, FIFA says more than a million tickets were requested within the first 24 hours after sales opened. The highest demand came from fans from Qatar, followed by Argentina, Mexico, and the United States, among others. Bangladesh is reviving the ancient tradition of producing a historically renowned fine hand-woven fabric called muslin. With the help of the government, the trade is making a comeback. Now, a workshop has been set up in Dhaka where weavers are being trained in the ancient art. They say it took them months to master the craft, working with incredibly fine hand-spun cotton yarns. The weavers say it takes them 8 hours to spin just 4 centimeters. Some varieties of the fabric are so fine that an entire muslin sari could fit inside a single matchbox.
There was a myth about muslin that it was so delicate that it would pass through even a small ring. Look, it's true. There is space to squeeze in another piece of cloth through this ring as well.
Breathing life back into this ancient trade was not easy. Officials with a revival project say there was little knowledge about how this fabric was made. Plus, the rare cotton variant, which makes this fabric so expensive, was also lost. The precious fabric was the most extravagant of its era and popular in Mongol courts. It was also imported into Europe for much of the 17th century and transformed the style of the aristocracy there.
An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of Surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes Surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoch, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
نعمان ابن حارث گفت یا رسول الله ان کان هذا من عندک
After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam selected Imam Ali alayhi salam as his successor by the order of Allah, a person by the name of Nu'man ibn Harith went to Prophet and asked him, "Didn't you select Ali as your successor based on your kinship and personal decision? If this is the case, I do not accept it. And if it is Allah's order, I ask Allah to pour down a stone from sky on my head and kill me so that I do not see Ali's imamate." Nu'man ibn Harith believed in Hajj, Jihad, Salat, Sawm, Tawheed, and other articles of faith. However, he did not believe in Ali's imamate as Allah's order and wanted to escape it. This is what Satan instigates. The problem of Satan was that he wanted to escape Allah's order to prostrate in front of human being. For 6,000 years, Satan worshipped Allah. However, he didn't accept to respect the order of Allah. We must be careful not to escape Allah's duties by making baseless justifications. The story of Nu'man ibn Harith is the best example of those who wants to escape Allah's orders. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him,
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are presently focusing on the first sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about the Quran, the Book of God, which is actually the constitution of this system of governance that Islam has. And here Imam Ali alayhi salam is explaining the revolutionary aspect of the Quran. As we mentioned, that every revolution, every social change requires a book or a set, a list of guidelines and principles that people can always refer to remind them about that revolution, about their aims and objectives, about what they need to do. And basically the Quran is doing that job, is doing that work for the Muslim Ummah. So we see that the Quran's role in this field is very important. And then of course the Quran itself, as you mentioned, it needs an explainer, it needs a teacher. But does that mean that the Quran cannot be understood completely by a person without the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, who are the teachers of the Quran? Or the mind and the heart of a believer can understand certain aspects of the Quran that are necessary for his guidance? And we say that yes, of course, these aspects of the Book of God can be understood, and we explain the different types of verses that exist and all that. But unfortunately, we have a group, we have difference here, we have people who are extremes, who fall on the extremes of both ends. For example, some people say that it cannot be understood completely. Others say that no, it has, every verse has to have an explanation from the Ahlul Bayt, while others say no, that the Quran can be understood by anyone. Anyone can just sit and all the verses of the Quran are completely clear and explainable by everyone. This is something that is questionable.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when we talk about this aspect of the Quran, that the Quran is a book that can be understood, we can mention a certain proofs from, for example, the riwayat, even from the intellect, basically. If you notice, Imam Ali alayhi salam himself in Nahjul Balagha encourages people to read the Quran, and he says that whoever reads the Quran, spends time with the Quran, then the curtains of ignorance get torn. Okay, or for example, certain verses, certain narrations that say that it is a lamp and a light, and it is a source of awareness and recognition in the heart. And We notice so many verses of the Quran encouraging us to read and understand and to ponder upon the Quran. All of these verses would be, and all of these narrations would be then completely, unrelatable. And let us say that the Quran had not mentioned all of these things, that, you know, Quran had not mentioned that you can refer to the Quran, that you should ponder upon the Quran. And let's say the narrations also did not tell us that, you know, you can understand and you need to ponder on the verses of the Quran and you have the ability to understand it. Even if these narrations were not there, then we would ask a question as to why did Allah send the Quran for the people? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Quran for the people in the first place? If it is a letter, then the audience of that letter need to know at least what the letter is trying to say. If it is revealed and it is like a puzzle or a riddle, then of course it would not serve the purpose. So you see, we notice that the Quran, because it serves as a book that continuously keeps the revolution of Islam alive, it would be necessary for each and every person to kind of relate to that verse of the Quran and those verses of the Quran so that they can keep on growing in the path of that revolution.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, unfortunately, this virus or this dangerous plague of a certain scholars coming and saying that, or certain people, unfortunately, or certain groups coming and saying that we cannot make use of the Quran or we cannot understand the Quran. This seems to be a plot by the enemies of the Shias or the enemies of the true path to kind of make the people disconnected from the Quran. It seems to be an Abu Sufyani type of thought. Abu Sufyan, he was apparently, he at the end of his life, he became a Muslim, but that was completely apparent and it was not seriously a Muslim. He just, because of some political and social circumstances, he agreed with his tongue to say that he's a Muslim. Otherwise, in his heart, he was still a disbeliever and a hypocrite. So this type of thinking that they had and they propagated, that the Quran is unrelatable, that you cannot understand the Quran. You need, because this Quran has got many verses that are ambiguous. I don't know, there are certain verses that have abrogated other verses. And because of these, all these issues, the Quran has been rendered a book that cannot be understood. This is a plague, it seems, that was brought down, that was disseminated by these groups of people that actually wanted to destroy Islam at the end of the day. And we need to be careful of this trend of thought even in this day and age. Yes, what we are saying is that the basic principles, general principles that are going to keep Islam alive, they need to be there. They need to be understandable. But that doesn't mean that there are certain verses that need explanation, that there aren't any verses that would require explanation. No, there are many verses. In fact, even those verses that are understood, they need also an explanation to understand the deeper meanings of that. So inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to strike a balance in these issues. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Hey! Siyutu.
Tümen.
Yani?
Bazaar. Everyone knows technological innovation is reshaping the world faster than ever before. From the smartphone revolution to self-driven cars, technology has had an impact on our lives in almost every way. On a broader scale, technology has changed major sectors over the past 20 years, including healthcare, telecommunication, energy, and so much more. And knowledge-based products in particular have increased safety, speed, and efficiency in manufacturing sectors. In many ways, technology has the power to do many things, and changing the world is one of them.
Hello everyone, welcome to another edition of Bazaar. In this show, we will take a look at how technology is developing Iranian industries. We wanted to uncover how indigenizing its products has contributed to industrial expansion, particularly helping oil and gas industry thrive. Plus, we will talk about what the government is doing to support the development of high-tech used in industries. So let's go check it out. We made a stop at Ara Tajhiz System Consulting Engineers in the capital city of Tehran. This company has been around for years and makes a range of electronics and devices that deal with electricity. Among its products, this company makes air conditioners and purification systems in a variety of styles. But that's not all. This company is mostly known for its production of UPS systems, industrial and non-industrial chargers and inverters. Now, you might be wondering what a UPS system is and what it does. These are devices used when the electricity goes out. Broadly speaking, a UPS uses a battery to create an uninterruptible power supply to whatever electronics need it. For example, think of your laptop. UPS acts a lot like your laptop battery when the power cord is disconnected. This allows a stream of power for a certain amount of time until the power source can be reconnected again. So you can save your work when the power goes out or until the generator kicks in. Most large and small businesses use UPS systems. This is because, in addition to offering a plan B during power outages, they are designed to be smart enough to regulate power surges, sags, line noise, and whatever else disrupts electricity. There are other types of UPSs too, and some of them can protect devices. Urban electricity is not always consistently supplied. This means the city's electricity may carry a lot of noise and fluctuations. So for those who live in areas with multiple power outages and possess expensive electronic equipment, this type of UPS helps protect them from irreversible damages.
But it's not just home appliances or office equipment that benefit from these items. Large establishments such as hospitals are required to have these systems too. UPS devices are vital in clinics and healthcare facilities as power outages can be fatal. Typically, they are equipped with several UPS systems that are used in surgery theaters, imaging departments, intensive care units, and so much more. This company has supplied UPS systems and inverters to dozens of hospitals in the capital as well as numerous other hospitals across the country. It has two manufacturing facilities located in industrial towns,
One of its production units has an area of 3,000 square meters with a massive warehouse to store its products. Quality is paramount here, and this company prides itself in making products that are dependable with a zero failure rate by following national and international safety and quality production guidelines. As part of its future vision, this knowledge-based manufacturer is planning on expanding its product portfolio. It also wants to increase its export reach. Among its staff, it employs experienced engineers and researchers at its R&D department. This is the beating heart of the company, and it's home to the quality control unit as well. This company has overcome many challenges over the years to be able to appreciate its achievements. One such hurdle has been the U.S.-imposed economic sanctions. We tend to take electricity for granted until the light goes out. For most of us, we just endure until the power comes back on. But for refineries, there are more serious consequences when the power is lost. In general, power disruptions in refineries happen more frequently than you might think. And when they do, there are mitigation technologies available for minimizing unplanned shutdowns. Power cuts can be extremely costly to a refinery. It can damage machines and equipment, not to mention that a shutdown also means less daily production and slashing profits. The company we mentioned earlier in the program is one of several knowledge-based firms in the country that provide advanced industrial-grade technologies to refineries. Previously, this technology was imported, but now it's domestically manufactured. However, this is only one example of technology that has been indigenized to further develop the gas and oil sectors. Unlike many other industries, the hydrocarbon sector has been slow to adopt technological innovations. It is partly because this sector has done so well that perhaps the drive to improve and innovate simply wasn't there. This changed after reimposing the U.S.-led sanctions on Iran. Iran's refineries are long overdue for a technological upgrade. Luckily, for companies in the fossil fuel industry, there are lots of opportunities popping up for them to revamp operations and propel them into the modern-day playing field. For example, some companies have incorporated innovations in robotics to help get the job done. An integral part of the drilling process in oil extraction is connecting and disconnecting drill pipes. Previously, the process of connecting and disconnecting drill pipes was extremely dangerous for those who did it. Consequently, robotics has made a lot of boring and dangerous elements of drilling safer. The Iranian oil and gas sector has been taking off at a rapid pace. That's all despite external challenges like the coronavirus pandemic and the U.S. sanctions. The country is passing new milestones in this industry every day. Meanwhile, the government has implemented several policies and initiatives to support technological development for this industry. The oil industry is an area with outstanding performance over the years, and many measures have led to high levels of self-reliance in all parts of this sector so far. Much of the success is attributed to the hard work of knowledge-based companies in developing technologies to sustain the industry. The capabilities of knowledge-based companies play a significant role in keeping the industry current with the times. The oil ministry says these companies are helping enhance the production of 700 oil and gas wells in the country. Figures from the ministry show Iran has more than 5,500 oil and gas wells in 400 fields nationwide. The ministry plans to use the power of research and knowledge-based companies to increase annual production with the least capital and risk. The goal is to turn existing sources, namely raw material, into wealth. So, for this to happen, the industry must start using science and technology. If the last 40,000 years have been a methodical climb for information and communication technology, or ICT, then the last 30 years have been a sprint. ICT is the world's fastest growing economic activity. The sector has turned the globe into an increasingly interconnected network of individuals, firms, schools, and governments. They all communicate and interact with each other through a variety of channels, providing economic opportunities transcending borders, languages, and cultures. ICT forms the basis for most advances in almost all aspects of our modern world, including manufacturing technologies. It is considered to be key for advanced manufacturing strategy. In this show, we will look at Iran's information and communication technology sector. Products of this industry are all around us, which have helped us perform many of our daily tasks more efficiently while saving valuable time. We wanted to explore its role in economic growth and discover how its products are facilitating a shift towards a knowledge-based economy. Our journey this time took us to a company that originated in the capital city of Tehran and now provides services across the country. ITOL was established a couple of years ago and has since rapidly expanded its scope of services. It has developed an online platform that consolidates multiple vendors to provide services needed by vehicle owners. In the past, car owners had to physically go to various administrations to change license plates, get insurance, or pay fines. Each one of these tasks required going to a different service provider and often involved lengthy waits and lots of bureaucracy. This company reimagined the way people take care of their vehicle needs. Now, all these tasks are easier to complete with the use of a single website. For example, one particular service which is quite handy for car owners is the impound release service. Getting your car back from impoundment isn't fun. You will often need to gather lots of paperwork and pay some hefty fees. But probably the most difficult step is locating the vehicle itself. This is actually more difficult than one might think. This company offers a unique service for a situation like this. After the car owner enters the basic vehicle information on the website, they have the option to hire an agent. Upon receiving express permission from the car owner, the agent then will carry out all tasks of getting the car back from impoundment. The age of digital technology has brought everything to our fingertips. Such technology has saved us valuable resources and numerous headaches. It has helped us become more productive with the efficient use of our time, freeing up busy schedules for other activities. ICT has also opened new channels for service delivery in areas such as e-government, education, e-health, and information distribution. There are several websites and places where an individual can search to find that perfect car to buy. Not to mention there are numerous areas to shop around for vehicle insurance, but never before have they been found in one place. So one of the competitive advantages of this business is its expansive range of services offered through a single platform. Being resilient and adaptable has been key to managing the fallout of the COVID-19 crisis. During the coronavirus pandemic, more and more people turned to the internet to meet their vehicle needs as many areas began restricting in-person services. This company offered a valuable service during that period, and currently, its platform has around 20 million users. The services provided by this platform are certified through various government departments and municipalities. And as such, this company is regulated by these entities as well. It has also received its operation permits from the Center for Information Technology and Digital Media under the Ministry of Culture and Labor. As part of its future vision, this business is planning to increase its services with its development strategy. The biggest asset of this company is its human resources, which employs specialist and experienced personnel in the field of information and communication technology. Plus, it has dozens of expert consultants for various fieldwork tasks. Currently, roughly 80 people work at its company. The company we just mentioned is only a small part of the massive information communication technology network in Iran. This sector is increasingly viewed as a resource to improve productivity and efficiency, leading to economic growth. The Iranian economy has benefited greatly from ICT application over the years. Now, you might be wondering what these technologies are and what they do.
In a nutshell, these technologies all deal with the transmission or reception of information of